Chapter 26. Back in Lynn. In the first century of the Christian era, Jesus went about doing good. The evangelists of those days wandered about. The ideal of God is no longer impersonated as a waif or wanderer, and truth is not fragmentary, disconnected, unsystematic, but concentrated and immovably fixed in principle. Mary Baker Eddy. 1880. September found the Eddies back in Lynn, but the Howards had not yet elected to move there. They were still undecided about leaving Boston. However, Howard was unanimously elected president of the Christian Scientist Association at its first fall meeting. Julia Bartlett was often in Lynn during the fall of 1880 and has painted a word picture of this time. "I never had seen a Christian Scientist, but my one desire above all others was to see and know the one through whom all this great good had come to the world, and to be taught the truth by her. In about 4 months from the time I first heard of Christian Science, I applied to Mrs. Eddy for class instruction. She made an appointment with me at her home in Lynn, and when I went there, Dr. Eddy waited on me. She came in almost immediately and said she would not keep me waiting. I felt her love, which always made her thoughtful for others, and was perfectly at ease in her presence. She was beautiful, but rather more slender than at a later period. I think what most impressed me at this first meeting was her spirituality and the place she occupied in the world. And yet she met me just where I was, so simply and sweetly, mindful even of the little things for my comfort. My first instructions from Mrs. Eddy began September 30th, 1880. This class consisted of only 3 members, but she spoke of how much she enjoyed teaching this little class. Her teachings were a wonderful unfolding of truth to her students. I can seem to see her now as she sat before us with that heavenly spiritual expression which lighted her whole countenance as she expounded the truth. In teaching one member of the class, she told me she always saw a halo over his head. Then she said, quote, "Dear, I see white roses in your thought," end quote. When the class was through, my friend, Mrs. Ellen Clark, who first told me of Christian Science and who was also in the class, and I lingered a little and were sitting beside our dear teacher while she was talking to us of mortal mind's hatred of truth and the evil to be overcome. She mentioned an incident of a person coming to her door, armed against her, but he was not able to perform his evil work. Could this have been Edward Arons the previous Christmas? We were seeing a little what it meant for her to stand where she did, a representative of truth before a world of error, the cost of it, and the glory of it. But we said in a playful, childlike way that amused and comforted her, quote, "They shall not touch you. We will help you," end quote. My greatest joy today is that I may have been the means of lightening her burden somewhat in the years that followed. The first Christian Science Sunday service I ever attended was at this time and was held in the little parlor at 8 Broad Street, Lynn. There were about 20 people present. Mrs. Eddy preached the sermon which healed a young woman sitting near me of an old chronic trouble, which physicians were unable to heal. Her husband, who was present with her, went to Mrs. Eddy the next day to thank her for what had been done for his wife. I was much interested in conversation with other students to learn somewhat of their experience before Science and Health was published, or there was anything in print on this science. They said that whenever they were to see Mrs. Eddy, they would take pencil and paper with them, and at the first opportunity would write down what she said to them, and they pondered over those words and treasured them. They had wonderful cases of healing, and their work was easily done, until all at once they were not successful. Then our great leader discovered that evil minds were at work to hinder the progress of truth in its healing power, and that the students must be taught how to meet and overcome this evil. As this was done, their patients began to improve, and their work went on as before. After class, Mrs. Eddy advised me to go to my home in Connecticut and have a little experience in healing, which I did. During this time, I often went to Lynn to attend the meetings of the association and to aid our dear teacher as I could in the work of the cause. Probably some of the early students Miss Bartlett talked with after that first service were Dorcas Rawson and Miranda Rice. They had been in Mrs. Eddy's second class in the fall of 1870 and had been practicing now for 10 years. They had experienced the prophecy in Revelation, wherein Satan was bound for a season and then loosed again. Mrs. Eddy's discovery of the scientific statement of being had bound the dragon, and nothing was impossible. No case was too difficult to cure. The healings of that day were miraculous and immediate, and that day was as a thousand years. Quote, "But when the thousand years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." End quote. Richard Kennedy's reversal of all that his teacher had taught him, his misuse of mind power, had loosed Satan from his prison. For 9 years, Mrs. Eddy had been struggling with the effects of his malicious malpractice, and now she saw clearly what it was and how it operated. She also saw that every student must meet and solve this problem. Those who close their eyes to it become tools of the enemy, and they invariably stop following their leader. Mrs. Eddy taught another small class in November. Of the new students, Julia Bartlett was the most dedicated, as this letter from her teacher indicates. 8 Broad Street, Lynn, December 17th, 1880. My own dear child, you will pardon me, I know, for not writing sooner. I have Sunday services, 2 meetings sometimes in the week, and writing, have calls all the time, and so do neglect what I love to do, answer you at once. I am more than glad when I hear anything favorable from a student these times. Quote, "that try men's souls," end quote. I have not seen Mrs. C. yet, nor heard from Mr. S. You, dear, can do much in every direction, and when you are getting a bit disheartened, come to Mother. I will try to help you. Please remember in a scientific way the members of your class. If you love me, feed my sheep, our dear master said. Write often, and unless your letter needs an immediate answer, You need not be surprised if it does not get it. I am so busy now until after my book is published. Love from my husband, ever your affectionate mother, M.B.G.E. The publication of her book was far from the only thing that kept Mrs. Eddy so very busy. 2 days after this letter was written, she wrote in her notebook, December 18, 1880. Commenced services at the Hawthorne Rooms. The salary proposed was $10 by Mrs. Choate, but they said they would wait to see how much was collected of arrears before settling on the amount. I said I should not state my salary, but leave it to them to say how much it should be, but that I should not take more than $5 per week, and could not agree for 1 year as duty might call me away. While Mrs. Eddy was working on all fronts, the evil that Kennedy had loosed was spreading. Before the end of the year, Ahrens caused a pamphlet to be published, which was largely verbatim extracts from The Science of Man and Science and Health, interspersed with his confused metaphysics. The lower part of the garment that he had torn from its proper setting was taking him deeper and deeper into mesmerism.
The attempts to destroy Mrs. Eddy's babe,
Science and Health, were soon to grow very wicked in the endeavor to prevent the woman's child from being caught up unto God and to his throne.